Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Baseball Isn't Boring with Brad Lowe on WEEI.
All right, it's been a great couple hours. Baseball's a boring show every single Saturday. It's awesome, and we're sponsored by the great folks at McFarland. Julie McWilliams, Boston Globe with us. The Play Tessie guys. Gordo, Sammy, Pat. I got Julian to yell. Did you yell McFarland yet, Julian?
No.
Yell it.
McFarland.
All right. Sammy, yell McFarland.
McFarland.
Oh, all right,
that
Gordo.
Was weak. McFarland.
Yeah, that was weak,
my
Sammy.
God,
that
my
was,
ears. My ears.
That,
it's
that
loud.
That was really bad.
These headphones are loud. I'm trying to.
That was like the Kenley Jansen interview of McFarland screams.
Pat, yell McFarland.
McFarland.
All right, you guys got to work on it. The whole idea is that we're excited, and when we get excited, we yell McFarland. And I'm excited. I'm going to yell McFarland because we got the great Will Fleming on the line.
I didn't know that was the precedent.
Yeah, that was.
I'm going to have a concussion.
That guy you had on the phone before, he had a great one.
He had a great one. So Will Fleming, live. Technology does not let us down. Will Fleming, live from the Dominican Republic.
What's Bienvenidos, going on, amigos. How are you guys doing? It's great to hear you from here in the DR, and already been a wonderful day with a lot of fun and excitement to come for sure.
Will, how do you say McFarland in Spanish?
I just did it. If you were actually listening rather than nonstop talking, I said McFarland.
So good. All right. So set this. I don't even know where to start. Let's start here. You were at the Brian Baio press conference, correct?
I was indeed.
Okay. Give me your takeaways.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think we all know that the mood and temperature in Boston is a little bit tepid at the moment around this ball club, and there are holes to be filled in the starting rotation. But, you know, the day they signed him, and certainly today, is a day to kind of celebrate the organization and all the things that go into finding and developing and then signing a pitcher like Baio. And you know, you've been around him a lot, Rob. He's kind of the genuine article in a way. And, you know, one of the reasons that I am so happy that we're here in the Dominican and have had such a good time already for this, you know, day and a half that we've been here is that, you know, at the moment in professional baseball, this right here, this town, this region of this tiny little island is just the absolute cradle of so much that comes into Major League Baseball. And you know, we see Baio at Fenway Park and at Yankee Stadium and all on the big scene and the big stage, but you look around here and the small little towns around Santo Domingo, and of course he comes from a totally impoverished portion of this country in the northeast corner, and you think about, you reflect on a day like today where he signs this major extension. He's got all of his family and his friends, his agent, all the people that trained him and helped him long before the Red Sox ever laid eyes on him. And you think about the journey that he took, like so many that are in big league baseball today. And I really thought that just the tone of the entire thing was pitch perfect. A lot of that has to do with Brian himself, because he, as you know, he is so humble. It's a really neat combination of a guy who, when he gets on the mound, is such a fierce competitor and attacks hitters and is so self-assured. But off the mound, he is not that way at all. I mean, he's a great teammate. The guys in that room love him. And every single player, coach, and front office member, every single one of them was in the room when Baio was up at the dais with Craig Breslow. And I think that speaks a lot to who he is. And the fact, I think, that the Red Sox and Craig and all of the people involved did it here was, in a lot of ways, it was a master stroke, because not only does the Dominican press corps and all those folks get to see it, but most importantly, you know, the people that shaped Bayo, aunts and uncles and trainers and all of his family and relatives were in the room with him to celebrate this crowning achievement. So it was a really neat thing to be a part of and to watch him, and he nailed it. He was humble and happy and smiling throughout, and the tone of all of his answers, talking about how he expects to take the mantle of Pedro and David Ortiz and hopefully become the ace of this organization for a decade or more. It was a really cool thing.
Well, well said, Will. And it is. We shouldn't forget that this is. Can you imagine that we don't get these so many Dominican players run through baseball and they sign big contracts, but how many of them actually get to have the press conference in their home country? It's pretty incredible. But I think that overall, and I'd like to get your take on sort of the vibe there. I think that the timing of this is good. I know that some players are like, oh, I don't want to get on a plane or whatever, but having, you know how it is, Will, at this time in spring training, how mundane it can get the first week of March, and to have this little respite where you don't have to go across the country for anything, but you have this respite where everyone's celebrating everyone has a smile on their face, all of that. I don't know if you got that vibe that these guys are like, yeah, listen, it's nice to have a little fun that's not at Topgolf in Fort Myers, you know?
No, it's a really exactly right point, Rob, where it's the perfect time for this. I mean, it's halfway basically through the time in Fort Myers, and you have to remember a lot of these guys have been there for weeks before that, so it comes at an absolutely perfect time. And, of course, it doesn't hurt when you get off the team plane, load up on a bus with a 75 police motorcycle escort and go to the local harbor and hop onto John Henry's yacht for a party hosted by David Ortiz with live music and all kinds of stuff. So I think it's a really nice break for the guys. And I do think, you know, look, people are going to grow tired of this narrative coming in and out of camp unless the Red Sox sort of add some more starting pitching, because it may be rendered moot. But you've spent some time around this team. I've now been around them for a couple of weeks. There is something going on with this group, Rob. They do have a level of belief, and there is a real energy around some of the, not only the additions, but the young guys who just feel so much more comfortable. And I think Bayo and Cutter Crawford go right into that mix, where those kinds of people are willing to take on sort of more leadership-type roles. They're all in a very loose mood down here. You know, Raffy organized a massive team dinner at a restaurant right smack in the heart of downtown, and almost every player attended that, and Raffy picked up the tab, and they, apparently great times were had. I don't know yet, Rob. I know you're curious how many seafood towers were ordered, but I can assure you that more than one was consumed. But Raffy's out on the field right now. He's going to speak to everybody in a little while. He's heading over to the kind of interview area. We'll see if we can get some sound from that. But he is a man in full here. You know, it's an interesting sort of comparison between Bayo and Raffy, where, you know, both of them in a similar way get to come to their home countries and sort of bask in the adoration of the so many who look up to them in this part of the world. And by the way, you feel that coming into the stadium too. I mean, we got here 6 hours before the game, and the driveway leading into the ballpark is jam-packed. I mean, the Red Sox are a huge brand name here, and it is those guys. It's Pedro, it's David, and now it is Devers, and it is Bayo, who really sort of moved the needle here in this country, and I think they're both kind of just drinking it all in.
See, this is perfect, because this is the roller coaster of emotions that we promised in the Baseball Isn't Boring brand, because, Will, we had Kenley Jansen on earlier, and I asked all these guys, I said, what was your takeaway? And they were all...
He was sad, Will.
They were all super depressed. But now you're building us back up. This is what it's all about. Let's ride the roller coaster. Go ahead, Julian.
No, Will, so great to hear your voice. I mean, I haven't seen you all spring. Come on, man.
What's up, dude? I didn't know you were there. How are you, man?
I'm great.
Good thing you didn't rip him.
So great.
Everything is great, especially because that clown Julian McWilliams is not with us. It's been a great break.
What's just like, I mean, I saw some of the pictures that they posted just for, you know, I think Rob hinted on it, touched on it a little bit, but for the young guys, the young Dominican guys there sitting in the background and looking at Bayo sign this, you know, this huge deal, because let's not act like it's not a huge deal. It's a huge deal, right? I mean, it's that's life-changing money for generations and generations, particularly from where he came from. What is it like to just see those guys and see their eyes, you know, light up and have the emotions of wow, maybe perhaps that could be me too.
I'll tell you what, Julian, I was looking certainly at the younger Dominican players on the club, whether it be Emmanuel Valdez or Pablo Reyes, but I'm also looking at Tristan Casas and then at Seydon Rafaela and at all of the young core that we hope to be around for a long time. There are rumblings that a Casas extension is continuing in the right direction. I don't think they're nearly as close as they were, say, a week ago with Bayo, but I think that continues to be a real point of emphasis and something the Red Sox hope to get done. But it's a fascinating dynamic when you see one of their close friends and teammates up on that stage, you know, in the nicest suit he's ever worn in his life and smiling ear to ear. And you know that everyone in that room who's not yet, you know, reached that level of financial security is dreaming about that. And I don't think Tristan Casas is quite worried about that. He knows his payday is coming and it's probably coming very soon. But I think it's really important and good. Not only the financial side of it, right? To have Sam Kennedy and Eddie Romero and Craig Breslow and everybody in that room sort of celebrating the entire organizational win with Brian Bayo and trying to be the next guy in that line. But I think there's something building to finally again that I think has been missing the last couple of years, and that is a real culture around the brand. And the you know, sort of the marquee name that is the Boston Red Sox. I really believe that with these young guys, they're trying very hard to kind of be the next in line for that. And by the way, it doesn't hurt that as Bayo stepped up onto the lectern to give his first opening remarks, the biggest personality in the entire universe, the galaxy, David Ortiz, walked in. And, you know, we saw him last night at dinner. As you all well know, no one fills a room more than Poppy does ever in the history of this game, just about. And I think having him around and sort of pushing the front office in ways, but talking to players, you know, Poppy told us last night he was going to be there for Bayo, probably why we started 30 minutes late, and that he was going to be the guy to do his very best to shepherd Bayo through this process. I mean, to get him to be the best version of himself. So I really just think that the more exposure these young players have to David and to Pedro, both of whom we're going to have on our broadcast a little bit later this evening, the more of that they can drink up, the better, and it takes on a different meaning in this country where they mean so much.
All right, Will, I just want to let you know, I don't know if you know Julian's here, but we have all the Play Tessie guys. I know it's one of your favorite podcasts. Exactly, right, correct.
I listen to it all the time. I referenced it a couple weeks ago in one of our games. Very good.
I know, and they really appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciated that,
so,
Will.
So, Gordo has a question for you.
Yeah, Will, you talked a little bit about the Red Sox culture and building that. Do you think a trip like this goes a long way towards building that culture? And second part, outfits. Who's the best outfit you've seen? We saw a bunch of pictures on the socials yesterday.
You know what? Here's the amazing thing. Everybody's talked about Alex Cora and his, you know, renewed commitment to fitness and health. And, I mean, he does look like a totally different human being. Angelica is here with him. And I don't know whether she picked the outfits or he did, but, like, his fashion game on this trip is absolutely off the charts good. I mean, we're so used to seeing him, like, in baseball pants and, like, the little, you know, cut-off Belichickian baseball, you know, pullover deal. Well, he's got, like, iron starch linen pants with like these perfectly colored and matched like Guayabera shirts. I mean, he is looking so strong. A lot of the guys kind of had like a almost like a team shirt for the event on John Henry's yacht yesterday. It was like a light blue color. I'm sure you saw a lot of that. But then, like in the Rob Refsnyder world, they're like a lot of orange floral prints were on full display. And I think it's really cool that everybody embraces sort of the culture and the vibe down here. It was a lot of Hawaiian shirts on the airplane, and there have been more around the ballpark and around the hotel. It's fun to see guys kind of cut loose a little bit. And yes, I do think trips like this do help a group, an emerging young group, kind of grow together. And let's be honest, kind of get away from some of the noise that always surrounds this club and that has surrounded and consumed this offseason. You know, there is so much negativity in the press, whether you're reading the Boston Globe or the Wall Street Journal. I mean, you cannot escape the number of things that are being written about this club that talk about the things they haven't done. And I think it's nice for the group to come together, to take a trip like this, and to sort of believe in what they, as a group, can do instead of hear constantly about the things that they cannot do.
All right, we're up against the clock a little bit, but Sammy has a question for you.
Will, you mentioned a Casas extension rumblings. Do you have anything new on that front for us?
Well, he had his favorite pregame yoga session of the last decade. I have that to report today. I mean, it was unbelievable.
He was like shirtless. He was shirtless in Dominican Republic, correct?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, this is his natural environment, man. He was fired up. You know, I'm not going to break any news or report anything. I can just tell you that from many people, there's confirmation that that continues. I think the one thing about it is, you know, a hitter is going to be more expensive than a pitcher is just in the current environment. And you know, Casas produced at such a high level last year that I do think, you know, his market is going to be a little bit stronger and different than Bejo. And, of course, you know, their backgrounds and their personalities are so different, right? I mean, I think the Red Sox, I think it's a win-win deal for both sides. But if you're telling me that even if Bejo's ceiling is like a very good number two starter in 4 years, if he's making $19 million, I mean, that is just a brilliant deal for both sides, especially given where he came from and all the great things that were written about him in the Boston Globe by Julian's peer, Alex Speer, just a wonderful profile of Bejo. Casas is different, right? I mean, it's not like he came from a ton of money, anything like but that, but he is such a different person that I think all sides are having somewhat of a harder time kind of understanding what it might take and what it might look like to get him to say, yep, that's the number that you know, sort of satisfies me, and let's sit down and put some ink to paper. But I think they're working toward that. I don't think anything's imminent, but I would not be surprised if in the next few weeks we hear something about that.
I just like the fact that Casas is going to every offer. It's going to be either met with, nah, I'm good, or okay. So
I think that's exactly right. That's who he is. It's not going to be haggling back and forth. It's, nope, I'm going to go you know, make myself some tuna tartare, but come back to me, and when it gets to the place where I want, we're good to go.
All right, bring me back a souvenir, Will. Please, bring me back something.
We got a lot of different options for you, Rob. No problem.
Okay. Well, I miss you, man.
Yeah.
I miss you, too.
Well,
when are we going to... Are you coming down to Florida soon, Julian?
He's here. He's here.
Oh, you guys are in Fort Myers. Oh, beautiful.
We told a great Twin Peaks waitress story last night. About last night. You missed it.
So. That is really treacherous territory, Rob. You better be careful.
All right.
Julian, Rob knows all of them by name. Every single person who works in that joint. And he walks in, and they don't even take his order. It's like, here come the 12 wings and the... You know, the whatever it is, the Tito's and soda that he can put the dopey flavored drops in, you know?
The usual.
Oh, he ruins the drink, Will.
All right. Well, since my wife is approximately 50 feet from us, I will see you later, Will.
Hi, Jen.
All right. Listen to Will on the broadcast tonight. Get home safe, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple days. Thanks, Will. The great Will Fleming. All right, Will Fleming in the broadcast. We run a little bit late. We're going to come back. I didn't want to sort of ruin the vibe, but I couldn't help when he's talking about everybody getting around for that press conference and, you know, the whole team. Conversely, what you and I, Julian, saw with the rest of the team going out to field two and getting ready for the Chris Martin live BP and then walking down with their head down.
Just walking away. Just got a replay of Kenley Jansen because he was all over it. I mean, he was just talking about a hawk. He was like, yo!
yeah.
What happened? And nobody saying something. Like, yo!
Every day.
He finally got Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we got to take a break. I'm Rob Bradford, Julian McWilliams, Gordo, Sammy, and Pat from the Play Tessie podcast, Joe Braverman behind the glass. That aforementioned Joe Braverman, he's going to trend right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
West Coast road trip continues for the Celtics tonight. They are in Phoenix to take on the Suns. Jason Tatum, probable. Jaylen Brown, questionable. Devin Booker for Phoenix is questionable. Tip-off on ABC is set for 8:30. Speaking of ABC, that's where you can find the Bruins taking on the Penguins over at TD Garden. Hampus Lindholm is back in the lineup. He's been out since February 19th with a lower body injury. And the man who was almost an LA King, Linus Ullmark, will get the start in the net for the Bees. Puck drop in a little less than an hour from now at 3 o'clock. Yesterday at the deadline, speaking of, the Bees acquired forward Pat Maroon from the Wild and defenseman Andrew Peak from the Blue Jackets. Jakob Zboril was sent to Columbus. News in the NFL, the Broncos have agreed to trade receiver Jerry Jeudy to the Cleveland Browns. In exchange, Denver will get a fifth and a sixth round pick in the upcoming draft. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that the Patriots did have interest in trading for Jeudy. Red Sox are down in the Dominican Republic for two spring training games against the Rays this weekend. First game is set for this evening at 5:05. You can hear Will Fleming on the call right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. And the Revolution return to MLS action tonight. They will be on the road to battle Atlanta United. Revs are still looking for their first MLS win of the season after dropping their first two games. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Baseballs and Boring, sponsored by our great friends at McFarland Energy. You love McFarland, I love McFarland, everybody loves McFarland, and I love baseball. I love the great game of baseball. That's why I don't just yell and scream about it. I have all my friends, or my acquaintances. All my friends, meaning Gordo, Pat, and Sammy from the Play Tessie podcast, and my acquaintance, Julian McWilliams, who... sometimes he's my friend, unless he's throwing me under the bus.
No, I never threw you under the bus.
Yeah, I mean, what are you talking about? You just said my drink orders were all awful.
No, your drink orders aren't awful. You just add the stir to it, and it's just...
there's nothing wrong. This is very important before we get to the Red Sox rotation, and we will get to the Red Sox rotation because we've had a great show, and we got to pitch a perfect game here heading into 3 o'clock. All right, fellas. I order a Tito's and soda because this body doesn't look like this without some maintenance. Pat's laughing. He knows what I mean.
As my dad calls it, the Tito's diet.
The Tito's diet, okay? I call it the Awakened 180 Magic. He calls it the Tito's diet. Tito's and soda. I have water flavoring. Actually, that waitress we had last night, you weren't there. When I put that in, she came sprinting across the restaurant, freaking out. Like, how did your drink turn red?
Was that part of her bit?
That was, I guess. It was.
Yeah, the next
Bobby Altoff.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Working at Twin Peaks.
We can put up a poll. Do you have a problem with me ordering Tito's and soda and putting water flavoring in it? Yay or nay?
What's water flavoring?
You ever heard of like Mio?
Like Mio?
It's kind of like Mio,
but it's stevia. I'm the all natural sweetener.
Actually, sugar.
I'm a picture of health. Look at me on Twitch.
It tastes like diet, like diet fruit juice. I don't know. It's not good.
Is there a problem?
It's good in water. I'll give you that.
Do you have a problem with it?
You can make it even healthier if you do like the drink on its own, and then you have a water with the flavoring. You're getting double the liquids in you.
Tell him Robbie needs to drink a glass of water.
Let's get a tall.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's getting a tall.
Oh, Pat's giving the thumbs down.
Pat's the fitness expert. He should know.
Yeah, we need Pat's take on this. I agree.
Why? Why are you giving the thumbs down, Pat? What's wrong?
No. I'm giving the thumbs down to Sammy. What's the point? All right.
You don't want him to drink water?
If I'm drinking alcohol, I want the effects. having like a side water with every drink, you know?
It's the same effect. It's like hydrated. It's you're drinking fruit punch, but you don't even know it. I mean, next thing you know, you're three and you're talking about the great game of baseball with Bobby Altoff, the waitress at Twin Peaks. So anyway, enough of that. More importantly, Red Sox rotation. This is a terrible segue. But not really,
because I think the drink is terrible.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay. This
is a great segue.
If Jordan Montgomery was a water flavoring, I think that would make a lot of people happy. Before I get to you guys to talk about their perception of the Red Sox rotation, I went on this little rant earlier in the show with a caller, and I said the Jordan Montgomery thing. Let's not get this twisted. I absolutely think he's a great fit for this team, could help this team, would win more games with this team, all of that. But I think that overall, the people who are screaming from the mountaintops of Jordan Montgomery do not know who Jordan Montgomery is. I don't think they know who Jordan Montgomery is. And they think that he is this number one starter, that you go out and get him, you build around. In other words, he's not David Price, the David Price you got before. He's not Chris Sale, who you traded for. He is Jordan Montgomery. He's the guy. He's, I guess, would be the equivalent of when you traded for Nathan Eovaldi. That's kind of what he is. Like, not the expectations for him. But people are looking at this guy and saying, oh, no question about it, a one or a two. I go two or three for sure. I don't like wins, you know, wins and losses, but I do like teams' wins and losses when it comes to starting pitching. I like that. And especially a guy like Jordan Montgomery, who is perceived as an innings eater, perceived as a winner. Well, even last year, his best year, his team wins and losses under 500. So I'm not saying that Jordan Montgomery wouldn't be a good sign, but I think that overall, people are erring on the side of liking the idea of Jordan Montgomery, liking the idea of winning in free agency. Julian, I can see you ready to go. You go first.
I think it's because they've had nobody in recent years, right? So, like, you sort of become this – you sort of embellish his stats. You embellish his impact because they've been stuck with guys.
You're agreeing with me.
Yeah, I'm certainly agreeing with you, but I think there's a reason why fans are saying this. Now, when you look at Jordan Montgomery, okay, like he was a really really good starter in New York. However, what did New York have more than other teams? They're probably one of the better defensive teams in baseball. Jordan Montgomery is a ground ball pitcher. I'm not sure I want Jordan Montgomery on the mound when Emmanuel Valdez is at second.
Hey, let me stop you there before we go on to these guys. That is a great point. And when you talk to the Rangers people, and the Rangers are always perceived as, they're gonna want Jordan Montgomery because look what he did in the world. They said, you better have a really good defense behind that guy. And the guys, this is another thing that I think the average fan does not understand. I'm not crapping on Jordan Montgomery. But you have to – I don't think the average fan understands this is the pitcher that you're getting. In other words – people also don't understand how good Lucas Giolito was the first half of last year. He was terrible the second half. But the first half, he was a legit ace. They don't understand that. They're just this idea of this, like Julian just said, this idea of this is what we haven't had. We want to win in free agency. We need this guy. Go get that guy because Lou has him on his avatar on X.
And oh, by the way, Texas was one of the best teams, if not the best defensive team in baseball.
I'm telling you, that's what they said.
Yes, it can. You can talk about he got this pitch that the Yankees didn't want him to throw. Certainly, yeah, okay. But are guys making plays behind him? And so you look around the infield. The only sure bet that you have is Trevor Story at shortstop. Devers, is he gonna be sort of this average, you know, fielder who we can look at and say, okay, I'm comfortable with Jordan Montgomery on the mound. Vaughn Grissom, he's still hurt. We don't know when he's gonna play. He's just getting adjusted to a new situation over there at second. Never really played second like that.
Tristan Casas wasn't that good at first last year. As much as people love him as a player, defensively he wasn't that great. He was one of the worst defenders in baseball last year. So your outfield's great, but he's a ground ball pitcher.
Mm. No.
So what are we doing?
So all right, Gordo, you go first. Go ahead.
When you look at Monty and you think about should they sign Monty, you have to look a little bit down the road. Look like a year or two into the future of the rotation, and I feel like you've got Bayo solidified. You can say he's the two. And we talked a little bit about this on Playtessie, but you've got the Whitlock, Hauk, Crawford, and I the way I see it is you hope two of those three guys can solidify themselves as the four and the five. So that opens up the number one slot and the number three slot. And you guys are right. He's not a number one. People might think he's a number one based off of how much we talk about him and how much you see his picture on Twitter and how many reports come out about him. But you're right. He's a high-end three. If they would be willing to pay him as a number two, even though you think he's going to be a three, and then pay an actual ace next offseason, by all means, go for it. I don't know how you can expect that from them. So if you want them to sign Montgomery, I think you have to kind of be okay with understanding that they're definitely not going to go out and get that number one next offseason.
One more thing, and I don't want to act like I'm overrating one, two, or threes, right? I think at the end of the day, they just need quality pitching and quality starters. And whoever's a one or two, fine. But if you can put together quality starters for, you know, X number of years, then you get your Gerrit Cole ace, fine. But all people are asking is just to be competitive. So that's why I'm saying you should go out there and get Montgomery. I'm not saying for them not to go out there and get Montgomery. He gives you a better chance.
No, I think we're saying the same thing. This isn't.
But don't act like he's Gerrit Cole or he's, you know, a number one starter.
Well, let me ask. So, Sammy, let me ask you. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think when we're talking about the perception of Montgomery, do you think that I think Julie and I are saying the same thing, that people's perception, like the average fan, the Joe Red Sox fan, they have no idea sort of what exactly this is, but they like the idea of him a lot more than anything else.
Yeah.
What's your take?
I think the fan base in general is starved for some sort of addition in the way of pitching. But, I mean, I don't think there's too many people who think Jordan Montgomery is an ace. I'm sure there are people out there who think that. But the fact of the matter is he's not. He's a two or a three. To me, I look at him kind of like when the Celtics got Al Horford. He's not a superstar, but he's a steady veteran. You know he's going to be there for a while, and you can rely on him. And then you build around, you know, that kind of like Bayo, Montgomery. By the way, you talk about a ground ball pitcher. You just extended one in Brian Bayo, so maybe you'd address the infield defense at some point.
That's good. That's a good point.
Wow.
That's a really good point.
You got arguably the worst defensive third baseman in Major League Baseball endeavors, and then you got Valdez at second base, who, I mean, that is as clunky as it gets defensively. So address it at some point. But aside from that, yeah, I like the idea of Montgomery just to stabilize the rotation. He's never going to be the ace, but you could foresee a future where it's next year, 2025, Bayo as the two, Montgomery as the three, and then maybe you acquire an ace via trade or free agency somehow. It doesn't all have to happen in a certain order. You can do it backwards like this. So I think it makes all the sense in the world. I would feel comfortable giving him a long-term contract as well because the style he pitches in, he's not a big stuff guy. I think he'll age well too, so I think it's a great fit. I don't know why he's not already signed here, but.
But Sammy, do you believe in the ownership group to make that financial commitment to multiple guys? Because if you sign Monty, you still have that number one slot. Like, you need that number one.
That's
dude
a good
to take
point
you where
too.
You want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, no, not really.
That's
I don't really.
Tough.
But
you
like,
can make a trade, but then you what? You let that guy leave in 2 years?
No.
At some point, something's got to give. They got to do something. It's
Gordo,
neglectful.
Gordo, that's. That's a really good point, and I think that people don't want to come to grips with that, too, is that if you allocate what they're asking for Jordan Montgomery right now, that's your number one starter money. Like, that is what it is. And so you go to next – so, okay, now you've extended Brian Bayo. You go into next year, and when you want – and you want to extend Tristan Casas, and you have to start paying money for, by the way, for other positions, position player guys – or maybe even bullpen arms, you need new closers and everything else, you've allocated that money to Jordan Montgomery. So do you want to do that this year? And that's why I think that's such an important conversation because people they can't come out and say, no, like we like the guys next year better than we like the guys this year, including Jordan Montgomery. They can't say that, But that has to be part of the conversation.
Do we think that, like, if they did sign Jordan Montgomery this year and they win, let's say, 83, 84 games, like a respectable amount, nothing crazy, do you think it makes them more likely to spend the following year on a real ace?
No, but whether you spend on the free agent guy or you trade for a guy and then you know you need to lock that guy up, right? Jesus Luzardo or whoever it is, you know,
it's
be
another game.
Yeah, I mean, but
100%. I think he's a better pitcher in terms of stuff wise than Montgomery is.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Yeah, 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah, that was like our guy for months on play testing.
I think that's a guy that and I covered Jesus when he was in Oakland, and like, trust me, he would be interested in pitching. But I talked to him when he was here the last time he pitched, and he's like, dude, I've never pitched in a place like this. Like, it was an amazing experience. And he's like, the mound is like just different.
It is the best mound in the league. That's what I heard.
About the mound and all that stuff. So there would be interest on his part if he were to be, you know, possibly dealt here, but who knows? I don't know what the Red Sox are thinking.
I'm telling you that the thing that Gordon brought up is the underlying part of this equation, which they can't, even though they are verbalizing the Fenway experience, the one thing that that Craig Breslow can't verbalize, and he sort of has hinted at, which is, don't think this is a sign of what we're going to do in the future, how we're going to approach things in the future. Right. They think that these guys, the Boras guys out there right now, aren't at the level of what they can get later. So they don't want to allocate that money. Now, allocating 3 years compared to 6 years is a lot different. Mm-hmm. Pat, what do you think?
No, I kind of touched on it last episode. It's kind of two-factor. So coming into the offseason, I would say you were incredibly naive if you thought this team was one or two pieces away from being a division winner. That being said, this should have been a stepping stone year. This is where you get your two or three starter Montgomery locked in. This is where you get your DH. So next year, when this time comes, you are one or two pieces away. Montgomery, to me, is kind of that stepping stone. You set him in as your two or three for the next 5-6 years, whatever it may be. Then next year, you're in a better spot. But Gordon brought up a good point. If they really do have these very definitive budget, no, I don't want Montgomery. I would much rather.
Right. So Pat,
this year. No,
Pat, not to interrupt, but to interrupt. You're right. I mean, Montgomery is the good stepping stone guy, but not at premier stepping stone prices. I mean, that's right. The thing that we have to factor in here. It's if Heyman says 7 years, Lou says 5 years, whatever it is, both of those are too much. Both of those are too much for that stepping stone guy that you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I was going to say, like, if it does boil down to that, if they are not willing to go out of that kind of comfort zone and let's say they do sign Montgomery for 5 for $125, let's say, and the next year be a player for one of those ace pitchers, if it comes down to one or the other, you absolutely just ride with what you have this year, and then you spend way more money next year on the Max Frieds, the Corbin Burns, all those guys, and be a big player then.
And you have a little bit better of an idea of what you have to go along with it.
Right.
Yeah. Guys, we got to take a quick break. We'll continue this conversation because it's a good one. And maybe you guys can do like the Play Tessie after show podcast. When's your next podcast you're taping?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, drop Monday morning.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Play Tessie podcast. All right, I'm Rob Bradford. That's Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe. Play Tessie guys, Gordo, Sammy, Pat, all with us. Joe Braverman behind the glass. We got one more segment, and we're going to finish strong because we're pitching a perfect game. Let's go. Be back after this. All right, baseball's in boring back. We're going to squeeze every little bit of this that we can before we head to the top of the hour. Joe, is Travis Thomas, is he up after us?
It is the Travis Thomas experience followed by Red Sox baseball.
All right. What a day. What a day, WEI. All right. Well, I'm here, Rob Bradford. I'm at JetBlue Park. They're having the Fenway South Beer Fest. To our right, to my left, is Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe.
We don't do beer, Rob. Remember? Me and you.
Yeah, not unless they have like Corona Premier.
Yeah, but yeah. Too many carbs.
I guess there's a lot of probably IPA flowing around there.
Now, if they had Tito's and soda.
Do they have non-alcoholic beer?
Oh, that was the fork in the road for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so anyway, the Fenway South Beer Fest is to the right. I have the baseball field to the center of me. I have Julie McWilliams to the left. Back at the studios, we have the Play Tessie guys, Gordo, Pat, and Sammy. So privileged to have them. I do want to touch on, we talked about the starting rotation. And the thing is that there's a lot of maybes. We talked Jordan Montgomery. We hashed that out. I thought it was great points by everybody. But now you have, what do you have? And yeah, you can be mildly optimistic. I heard you guys, I listened to your podcast, the Play Tessie podcast, talk about this. Do you feel better about it now than you did when camp began? Also leads us to, all right, after Brian Bello, who is the next guy being extended? Because Garrett Whitlock signed his extension. We can, it's a team, this, there's no way around it. Even though he's getting off to a slow start, it is right now as we sit here, if the guy is a starting pitcher and the guy does show potential without getting hurt, then it is a team-friendly deal. Good for him. Not going to begrudge the team or the player. That's fine. So you have Garrett Whitlock. The next guy after Tristan Casas, after Brian Bello, the perception is Tanner Houck. I asked Tanner Houck. He said, yes, we've had talks. He didn't want to get into it. We've had talks. But I think that speaks to what we're talking about, where this team is at. Tanner Houck has a potential. And the conversation with Tanner Houck a year from now might be, oh, my goodness, why didn't you lock this guy up because he's so good? But right now, he falls under the same sort of bucket which all these other guys maybe. And you don't give extensions out to maybe even Bayo. Julian, you made this point. This isn't like a strikeout pitcher that you normally – this isn't Spencer Strider that you're giving this extension to. He's a ground ball pitcher who has a lot of potential, has a lot of promise, has had good results. But this isn't the no doubt about it guy that we say you got to lock up. But that's where the Red Sox are at, right?
Yeah, I even think, obviously, even with the Raffy deal, right, like – that was the third guy you probably should have signed, right? The other two walked out the door. So it's like, okay, you got to give the money to somebody. This is and they tried to act like it was some seismic shift. It's like, no, it's he's a really special hitter. And, you know, Rob, a wise man once said, my grandfather, he had a joke he used to always run with, said, mama's baby, daddy's maybe. Right? There's a lot of daddy's maybe on these teams, on this team. But where is the mama baby? And that's what I'm just trying to get at here. It's like, where are we getting these definite, no doubt, oh, yeah, you came out of me. You're my child. This is like, when are we going to get the guy that's like, oh, he's great. We don't have to look underneath the hood. I'm so tired of looking underneath the hood. I'm not a mechanic. Give me a guy that's good. Stop talking to me about pitching infrastructure. Stop talking to me about how this guy is going to change around the rotation, change around the pitch. Look what he did in San Francisco. Great. But he's not out there pitching.
You know what the worst point,
is? Go get pitching.
By the way, if you guys don't title your next podcast, what was it? Mama's Baby?
Mama's Baby.
Mama's Baby.
Yeah.
Daddy's Maybe.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about Mama's Baby anymore. What was it?
Mama's Baby.
What would be the title of their podcast?
Mama's Baby, Daddy's Baby, right?
Right, yeah, no, right. Right, write it down. Whatever it is, it's going to be on
Mama's
play.
Baby, Daddy's
it's going to be on the next
Mama's
Play Tessie. All right, what do you guys get to say about that?
I want to add on to Julian's list of things that we're sick of hearing. The worst one is the we got to get creative with the pitching quote.
Yeah,
I'm sick of that.
Flag.
Yeah, just sign good pitchers. It's crazy. What a concept. Sign guys that you know can pitch cuz you're the Boston Red Sox, right? Houck, no, I wouldn't want to see him extended right now. He's already under contract until he's 31 in 2027. We got no clue what he is. Yeah, 5 ERA.
You don't know if he's a starter or a reliever.
Yeah, look, I'd rather
a reliever. I know he's a reliever.
I actually think he could be a starter, but you know, okay. I don't argue anyone who disagrees.
You're certainly not paying him like he's a starter. Like, you're not going to sign him to a starter.
Right. Well, exactly, and that's why I'm saying I wouldn't extend him. Now, I'd rather, you know, wait the year, and if the price goes up, okay, so be it. But like,
yeah, like how much can it actually go up?
Right.
You're not gonna kick yourself that much in a year.
Right, and like I said, he's already under contract until he's 31, and that is through the year 2027. So, I mean,
Well, guys, legitimately, what we do at spring training, we love talking contracts. We love running up to guys and asking, and I, when we... Julian was here when I was talking to Casas the other day. We didn't even get to that sound, which we're going to have to, you have to go listen to it on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. But I said to Casas, I said, hey, man, like, sorry I'm asking about all these extension talks. He's like, I love talking about the contract extension. And then he said some things that we won't say. So anyway, but there's literally, we love doing this, but there's literally no one else to do it with. It's incredible. Like, it's incredible. I would, as I said before, I would love to go to the minor league side and go to Marcelo Meyer and go to Roman Anthony and Kyle Teal and say, hey, have they talked to you? Like, you can't. I couldn't get those words out. I couldn't get those words out for anybody, including a guy who's going to be a free agent, Nick Pivetta. Like, yeah. I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's so, anyway. Am I wrong?
No. And even, I always go back to this, but like, before Oakland is what the crap show that it is now, when I was covering them in the locker room and was covering the team for 2018-19, they had guys in there that, oh, by the way, were really good. And you can go to say, hey, Olsen, have they talked to you about an extension? Hey, Simeon, have they talked to you about an extension? Yeah. Hey, Chapman, have they talked to you about an extension? Hey, Luzardo, have they talked to you about an extension? Name one guy, Bayo included, who is at the level of any of those four guys I just named.
None. Mm. None. No. Right now. That's why you got to bring in an external candidate.
You left a bunch of guys out. Sean Manaea. Like, yeah. I mean, but hey, like at that point, it wasn't that far off. Yeah. Anyway, hey, listen, we got to go. I hate to do that. We can get on the phone. I'll conference call you guys in and we can keep talking. But we got to go because the Travis Thomas experience is coming up. I really appreciate it. Joe Braverman, excellent job.
Thank you. And shout out to Coop for getting us on Twitch the Twitches out there.
Yeah, love you, Coop. Let Coop cook.
Coop. We were on Twitch. We're going to have all the social media stuff, all the videos. Julian's already asking for a thing for his brand, putting it on his LinkedIn page. It's great. It's unbelievable. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in. Thanks for doing this. Play Tessie. Wow, you taping tomorrow night. You do it all the time. Guys are doing such a good job heading into the season. You're the hottest podcast, Red Sox podcast out there. Gordo, Sammy, Pat, all of you, Coop, you're doing a great job. Thanks for doing this today.
Appreciate you, Rob. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Kenley Jansen, thank you for coming up. I appreciate that. All right. Well, we'll be on, I don't know, I think next Saturday, if not the next Saturday after that, we're storming on into the season. Appreciate everybody. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Remember, go subscribe to Baseball Isn't Boring. I'm on my way right now to teach my 90-year-old dad how to do it. And if he can do it, you can do it. Baseball's important. See you later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.